Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. We have gathered ourselves together this afternoon, Heavenly Father, once again, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have gathered because we find that it needful and necessary for our inner man to be fed of Thee and of Thy Word, and so we look to Thee for a blessing as only Thou canst give. And so we pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that You will bless our being together, be with those that are unable to be with us, as well bless them, and that they too might realize the need and the thankfulness that the blessings come from Thee. So be our guide and strength, and may all honor and glory and praise be unto Thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. With the help of the Lord and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and from the message of which we received this morning from God, I would like to turn to the book of Ephesians where Paul wrote to them and he encouraged us all, as well as the Ephesians, how we ought to live our lives. So if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and would like to begin reading with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be removed and renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that it needeth. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. As we were inspired this morning by the leading of the Holy Spirit and by our dear brother that has come to visit with us, we're thankful for the words that were preserved. And as we read about the church that was written to, the book of Ephesians, the church in Ephesus that was the Apostle Paul's doings as he went about and he was a missionary and began these churches, and how he taught them to love the Lord and to serve the Lord, and they responded to this in a very positive way and became a body of believers in Jesus Christ. And so as we read in the book of Revelation, where Christ had reminded them that the many things that they were doing well, they were doing well as far as, but he had somewhat against them. And of course, that was their first love. I remember the testimony that my sister gave when she was being converted. And the elder brother asked her, "How long do you want to serve the Lord?" And she responded by, "As long as I keep my first love." And this is what the church in Ephesus, as the Lord said, "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And so you think about your first love. What was our first love? How did we respond? How did we live when we first came to the knowledge of the truth and become one of God's children? And as the apostle writes to the church, he reminds them of, as he says, "I say therefore unto you, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds." And this is how I believe that we become, or how we in somewhat degree lose our first love, because the vanity of our minds, even as we heard this morning. And so, as he mentions here, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that was in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. And so he's referring to those that were in sin. And I believe if we're not careful, how easy it is to slide back in to the former life and lose our first love. But he says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." So he reminds the Ephesians that they were taught different. They were not like these Gentiles that walked in the vanity of their mind. And that's you and I. We're taught different. We accepted Jesus Christ in a different way than the Gentiles were. And so we're no longer living in that way. That's why he says here that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And we all can relate to that, because when we become one of God's children, that's one of the things that we had to do. Put off the former things that we once enjoyed. And our brother talked about them this morning as being little idols in our lives. And when we were unconverted, they were big idols. And it kept us from the knowledge of the truth. We were like these that were, our understanding was darkened. And we couldn't see, we didn't understand what it means to see the light of Jesus Christ. And so that's why he says there, "You have not so learned Christ, but that ye put off concerning the former conversations and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans how we ought to, in our own minds, the renewing of our minds, that's what it takes. We formerly thought of things that would please our flesh, that we lived in life that that catered to the flesh. And now we've got to renew our minds from that, overcome that. Sometimes that's difficult to do. But if we put it in the hands of the Lord, if we put our trust and the cares upon Jesus Christ, ask Him to help us, ask Him to help us to overcome these things, it can be done. And this is why he tells us here, put these off so that we don't lose our first love. So that we don't have this somewhat against us, if you will, because of our own doings, our own will, our own little idols, as we learn. And so this is what he's saying to us here. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How do we do that? How do we go from this state of mind, this kind of a life, to this holy and godly way with the renewing of our mind? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't happen overnight. It don't happen with an instant, I want to serve the Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ, and now all of the old man is gone, and now I'm a new man. It just simply doesn't work that easy. We have to renew our minds. We have to put off the old ways. And we've learned to do that. We have done that as believers. But now we need to put on the new life. This is how then we can maintain our spiritual walk of life, that we won't lose our first love. And that the Lord won't have somewhat against us, if you will. And so he goes on to say, putting away lying, every man speak truth of his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. You see, these are things that the former lives that we did. And we need to do away with this kind of activity in our lives. And again, it takes concentration. It takes reading of God's word. It takes many hours on your knees praying to God, help me because I'm weak. Help me because I need to renew my mind. And so we read in God's word how I ought to live my life. What do I replace my old life with the new life? How do I renew my mind? Only God can do this. But we also read the words of Christ, and he taught us, if you want to lead and you want the Holy Spirit, then ask God of it. Ask God for these things. Ask him to help us to serve him in a better way. Ask him to help us not to think of the former things that we once enjoyed. You see, this all comes under the renewing of the mind. Putting off this old conversation. And maybe it was anger. Maybe it was, as he says, stealing. Or even corrupt communications out of your mouth. And let me be the first to say, shame to me, there was much corrupt communications come out of my mouth when I was unconverted. To my own shame. But you see, I asked God to please remove this. Help me with this problem. And he did. He removed it from me completely. I had never had a desire since then to use the Lord's name in vain like I once did. And so he will help us. He will. But you have to ask. You have to seek. That's why he says, seek. You will find me. Knock. I will open. Come unto me. And I will give you rest. This is the way Christ works with us. But we have to concentrate on it. We have to do, and we have to live our lives and renew our mind. And so, it's not by our works, but it's only by the grace of God that we can do these things. It's only, we're saved by grace. The Bible makes that very clear. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But that doesn't mean that we could just go on and be angry and have corrupt communications and do whatever we want to do. No, we have to do our part, and we have to put off these things, as he puts it here. And this is what he was saying to the church in Ephesus. So that they old, as he says here, that you don't walk after the Gentiles in the lust of your minds, the vanity of your minds. He had to remind them, you're no longer like this. You're changed. You're individual. You're different. And so we have to reiterate that in our mind and think about this. And when we're faced with temptations, wait a minute, I don't live that way no more. I don't want to live that way no more. I'm not going to do that no more. And sometimes we have to say yourself, self, don't do that. And you don't. And sometimes that's exactly what it takes. And then he refers to grieving not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Who of us here, as a believer, would dare want to grieve the Holy Spirit? Conscientiously, I don't believe a single brother or single sister would deliberately want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that. I believe that that if we're truly converted, we truly love the Lord, we will not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. However, there are times when we as believers, maybe you become tired, maybe you become discouraged, maybe you're fed up with things. And pretty soon you begin to murmur. Pretty soon you begin to point fingers at people. You criticize this one or you criticize that one. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. We speak evil of our brother. Oh, did you know what so-and-so did? Oh, my goodness. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. And he says, don't do that. Don't do that. And I believe that by and large, we try not to. However, I believe it does happen. And so we have to repent. That's why he even said in Revelation, unless you repent. He told that to every one of those churches. Unless you repent, he said. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except ye repent. So you see, the Lord is gracious, he's merciful to us, and he knows our hearts like the brother prayed. He knows our very being, he knows from the time we was conceived. And so we're not fooling anybody. He knows us, but he wants us to humble ourselves when we get into these things, and we must repent of them. That's why he gives us an opportunity. Confess your faults one with another that ye might be healed. This is the grace of God. This is what every one of us need. And this is what the church in Ephesus needed. And that's why he gave them a chance, unless you repent. And that applies to us to this very day and age. Unless we repent, be sorry for what we've done. And don't do it again. And we can be healed. God's gracious. He's merciful. And he won't bring these things up in our memories again. But we must admit, we must confess, and we must do what is right. And so this is the reason that he said unto them, I will remove you from the candlestick unless you repent. And that's the same way he deals with us today. And so, As he goes and mentions them, the other things, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You see, there obviously these things were existent in the church in Ephesus, or this would have never been written. How? What we don't know as individuals here, as a brotherhood, I don't know, and you probably don't know me, whether there's this kind of bitterness, whether there's anger, wrath, clamor, evil speak. You see, you see me here Sunday, morning, noon, singing, not all the time. Sometimes we're gone. Wednesday night, if you come, whenever you see me, that's how you know me. You don't have no clue what my life might be like Monday morning through Friday morning. And I don't know yours. I have no clue. I take it in faith. I believe that you follow the Lord. I believe that you trust in Him. I believe that the Spirit guides and directs you. I take that in faith. You take that in faith in me. We don't know that. God knows. God knows every move we make. And so we're not fooling him at all. We might be able to fool one another, but we're not fooling God. And so if any of these things are within our hearts, they need to be confessed, done away with, put off, as he says. Not to follow in these things that these former conversations that we once had. And that's why he says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So he tells us, he gives us these things to remove, don't do, put off, put on. And so conscientiously, you and I as believers, children of God, in faith, one with another, we live our lives and we try to do all of this, what he asked of us. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And so we try to practice this as much as we can within our lives, so that you and I don't lose our first love and be removed from the candlestick. It can be a simple life if you care to have it that way. If you don't make big issues out of things, if you don't make this burdensome and hard to do and unable to live, you can do it. But once you dwell on this, I can't do that. That's too hard. I would never be. You're already headed the wrong direction. You're already beginning to lose your first love, and that is to love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You're already starting that way. When you admit that you can't do these things, you can't without God's help. You can't without the leading of the Spirit. But if you're not tuned in with the Spirit of God and you're not following the leading of the Spirit in your life, then rest assured you will, in fact, begin to drift. That's a given. That's just it. That's human beings. So it does take a certain part on our part to see to it that we don't fall into these ways of life, that we put them off, put on the new. And when do we do that? He's not referring to this only when we become. Now, when we become a child of God, we want to serve the Lord, and we get counseling. We go to counseling, and we've learned, and we understand the doctrine, and we're ready for baptism, and we feel that we've put off the old man, we've died to sin, and now we're going to be baptized, and now we become new. And that's it. No, that is not it. That's only the beginning. This becoming new has to be every single morning God gives you life and breath. That should be new. Renewed every day. And sometimes even more during the day. You ask God to renew you from some of the things that so easily, as he writes in Hebrews, so easily beset us. And so the renewing has to be constant. It's every day we put on these things so that we don't slide back into the old ways and the old former life that we once had. That's how we do it. And the best way to do that, one of the best way to do that, is to read God's word on a regular basis. Read it, understand, know what it says to you and to me. I find that the biggest help. Not to mention, on my knees, I ask God to help me. Sometimes you have to beg. Sometimes you plead because you feel so unworthy of his grace and so unworthy of his love and his goodness. And so we, Lord, forgive me where I have failed you. Forgive me for what I have said, whatever the communication might be. I mean, this goes on and on sometimes. So, as we learn, as we live our lives, as we strive to do what is right, and that's why the song sometimes that we sing, this way is so hard sometimes, it seems hard. But the only reason it's hard because we make it hard ourselves, because of our own doings, our own things that we have perhaps not put off and have not put on. And so, as we look at the whole picture, we look at the grace of God, and we're so thankful that he gives us this grace and he still loves us. Like I mentioned before, there's nothing that we can do bad enough to God for God not to love us anymore or any less. He just doesn't love us any less. Never. He will never love us any less, regardless of what we do. It might displease him. It might not please his heart, but he doesn't love us any less. You see, when you and I, maybe we run into a situation and somebody's done something to us, and somehow our affection and our love for that individual kind of, you know, it mellows out because of what happened to us, what they said or whatever. And we don't quite have that close love and feeling that we once had. God's not like that. God is not like that. He still loves us regardless. And if we can keep that and remind ourselves over and over again, renew this in your mind, that his grace is sufficient, that he loves us, and that he cares for us, and he will help us. This is the motivation that can keep us going. This is the thing that can give us that unction of the Holy Spirit to guide and to direct us, because we have that hope and that desire and that great love that God has for us. And that's a comforting thing to know. And for my friend outside of Christ, you don't know this, it's because you have not given your whole being to God. You still reserve your own will. You still reserve the ways you want to live. The old person. That's what you want to do. And so you find it difficult to want to come to the Lord and to give your life. But you can. But you have to make up your mind. You don't want to live under the condemnation that one day, should you be taken out of this life, you know your destination, and it isn't pleasant. We know that. So, let us refer to the scriptures often. Let us be reminded in our daily walk, And as I mentioned, read God's word so you understand and know what his will is for our lives. And we will not fail. He will keep us in his love. He will keep us in his will. But we must commit our being unto him. Amen.
I think it's extremely important, since we only have one time to go through this earth, there's no second chances, none of us have. That as we heard, and one particular verse really caused me to reflect on this. It says, neither, this is verse 27 we read, neither give place to the devil. There are a couple of things that we know about him. Number one, he's not the strongest. He says, the word of God says, greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. So that's number one. Number two, he's the father of lies. So he will never give us the full truth. Anything that almost sounds like it, no different than to the woman in the Garden of Eden. It will always be, hath God said. And whatever comes out that way, brothers and sisters, we have to remember, that did not come from God. He's the father of lies. He's the one that's going to question our faith. He's the one that's going to question the reason why we're going forward. And he's the one that's going to be there until we choose to elect to serve God. So our choice should be not to give place to him. Don't give place to him. Run from him. And when we run from him, there's only one place to do. Is run to God. Run to the Savior, the one that is standing there with an open arm, with an open heart, and says, come to me, all you that labor, weary, come to thee for rest, and I will give rest unto your soul. That's what we all need. There is within each of us, within our heart, there's a God-shaped emptiness, and only God can fill it. He offers that to all of us. And may we look to him, may we seek his presence, may he bless us by all things in his power. Through Christ we pray. Amen.